black. Turanga, horses. Jojitam, tackled. Ratam, chariot. Mrigendra, lion. Dvajam, flagged. Ashritaha, under the protection. Purat, from the capital. Vritaha, surrounded by. Rata, charioteers. Ashva, cavalry. Kavalavi ist das in Deutsch. Dvipapati, elephants. Yuktaya, thus being equipped. Svasenaya, along with infantry. Digvijayaya, for the purpose of conquering. Nirgataha, bent out. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit sat on a chariot drawn by black horses. His flag was marked with the sign of a lion. Being so decorated and surrounded by charioteers, cavalry, elephants and infantry soldiers, he left the capital to conquer in all directions. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit is distinguished from his grandfather Arjuna, for black horses pulled his chariot. Do you remember what horses, what color of horses have drawn Arjuna's chariot? White, yes. So there's a difference. He was the grandson of Arjuna, yes, but his horses were black and not white. He marked his flag with the mark of a lion, Parikshit Maharaj. What was the mark on Arjuna's chariot? Hanuman, yes. And his grandfather marked his chariot with the mark of Hanumanji. A royal procession like that of Maharaj Parikshit, surrounded by well-decorated chariots, cavalry, elephants, infantry, and band, not only is pleasing to the eyes, but also is a sign of a civilization that is aesthetic even on the fighting front. Even in fighting, the Vedic civilization is aesthetic. So that was the purport. It's a little short, but we will hear the verse again. Svalankritam syama turanga jojitam ratam mrigenda dvajamashita purat vrito ratashvat vipapati yuktaya svasenaya dikvijayaya nirgata. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit sat on a chariot drawn by black horses. His flag was marked with the sign of a lion. Being so decorated and surrounded by charioteers, cavalry, elephants and infantry soldiers, he left the capital to conquer in all directions. Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam is entitled How Parikshit Received the Age of Kali. It is in our little presentation this morning, we shall observe what happened before this chapter came to pass, and we will take a very interesting lesson for our own spiritual lives out of the discussion which come a little bit later. See, in chapter 16, Parikshit Maharaj, the emperor of the world, tours his kingdom in order to see that everything is arranged nicely for the progressive march of his citizens back home, back to Godhead. And while he was on this world tour, we have to say, he was touring the whole world, because all of that was under the rule of the Pandavas. When he was touring the world, he saw that a black man dressed like a king had attacked a bull and had broken three of his four legs. And this was totally unknown to the civilization at that time. Parikshit Maharaj immediately drew the sword to kill this person who was dressed like a king, but who actually had very, very low qualities. He immediately drew the sword, just like every Kshatriya is meant to do. See, the word chat means hurt, being hurt, and triate means to deliver. A Kshatriya delivers, in other words, from pain. He protects those who are attacked by violence. In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear that violence has two implications. First is obviously just a physical type of violence, but the second meaning of, or second dimension, you can say, of violence is that which in our Western language we call a psychological violence, or violence to someone's feelings, someone's inner development, and so on and so forth. So a king is supposed to see that these two types of violence are not there. He has to see that first of all, no one is attacked, and second of all, he has to see that the inner development of the individual can take place. Srila Prabhupada, he defined violence as something, let me say, as not stopping the development of a living entity. And he says it's violent, therefore, if you don't preach, if you don't bring Krishna consciousness to them. Because how can someone develop further on his path if he does not receive a proper knowledge and proper inspiration? In Hamburg, on our last preaching tour, we had a conference in the University of Hamburg, which was very nice, where we discussed the different forms of violence to the audience. And I remember there was a Christian priest who talked about non-violence, and a Buddhist, and a imam, a Muslim, yes, and of course us from the Krishna conscious prayer, or we were announced to be like Hindus. And we discussed this concept of violence. Violence in Krishna, in our Vedas, means to commit, to hurt someone with one's mind, thoughts, that you think badly about someone, then to speak badly about someone in a hurting way, and finally to attack with physical violence. That's one dimension of violence, and the other is to not help someone advance in spiritual life. That's actually also violence. If we know something and which can help someone and stand by and don't help, that's a form of violence. I think you can understand if someone, for instance, is in a miserable situation, let us say an old man is attacked by two juvenile criminals, and you are standing there and you see how they beat the old man, and it's in your means to stop these young boys, then if you just go and look on, that's a form of violence. You agree to violence being done in your presence, and it's, you become implicated in this. That is the same thing when you are there, when an offense against Vaishnavas or Krishna is spoken, and you don't raise your voice and correct the offender, at least you don't try it, you become implicated in the offense also. So if we have knowledge, and it is within our means, but we do not help someone to overcome misery, we become implicated in a subtle way. So, all right, Kshatriyas are meant to take care that these two types of violence are not going on. They are meant to protect. For the first thing, the violence done with activities, they raise their sword. And for the second type of violence, that no spiritual knowledge is distributed to the benefit of the people, they take care that there is a brahminical, that the brahmanas can flourish and that the brahmanas can preach Krishna consciousness. For instance, a manager in Krishna consciousness will be extremely interested that there are Vaishnavas, that there are Brahmanas coming to preach to the devotees, so that the devotees can use their full potential to become Krishna conscious, and in this way, you know, overcome the threefold miseries of material existence. And I know in this project, which soon will reveal its spiritual name, I don't know it as of yet, but it will soon be made known. Yes, as soon as bird. But now let us call it the Abenteuer Project. In our mission statement, Vishwadev Prabhu and his management crew who assists him have made the statement that this is a place where great souls should become attracted, so that they bless the atmosphere of our project with their spiritual inspiration and help all of us to overcome the miseries of material existence. It's in our mission statement, in our one of the purposes of this project, to attract them so that the preaching can go on. This is very important that this goes on. Okay, so I really didn't want to develop this point. I wanted to discuss how or what transpired, what went on, so that Maharaj Parikshit went on his world tour. You must know that Krishna, that Yudhishthira, the king of the world, one day when he looked out of his palace, so to say, saw that very bad omens, which were not seen before in his kingdom, were covering the atmosphere. And he had a very bad Ahnung, suspicion. Ahnung, it's in German. But he did not really want to think of this. So he sent his brother Arjuna to Dwaraka to find out from Krishna why, what was going on. And then when Arjuna returned, he saw that his brother had a very, very dark face. Arjuna was so dejected. And Yudhishthira's verses of fears were confirmed. So he asked many questions, and then finally he approached the last question. Could it be that you are so dejected, Arjuna, because your dear friend Krishna has left the planet? Then Arjuna confirmed this. He said, he described to his brother what he had seen in Dwaraka. He had seen an empty town, so to say, we could almost say a ghost town, because all the Yadavas, the residents of Dwaraka, had gone to Prabhas, etc., and there had wound up their Leela in this world. And Krishna had also left the planet a little later. And Balaram had also left the planet. So when he came to Dwaraka, and the joy of Dwaraka was no longer there, there were some of the queens of Krishna who Krishna had said should wait in the town, and then Arjuna would come and bring them to safety. So I don't want to get into the whole Moshalya Leela of the Lord. It is a very distressing for devotees to hear that, but and I don't want to get into what happened when Arjuna brought the queens back. That's also totally tragic. We don't want to hear this morning to get to our point. But suffice it to say, in Deutsch, it is genug zu sagen, that Arjuna actually came back very, very, very distressed. So at that time, he was crying, his lotus eyes, he had lotus eyes, they looked like wilted lotus flowers, verwelkte lotus flowers. And then he made a very, very, very nice point. In the midst of his grief, Arjuna said that now, where he was bereft of Krishna, he had only one last recluse. And that is, he was remembering the Vani of Lord Krishna. He was so finished that Krishna had left the planet, but he found the way out, and that is to remember the instructions of the Lord. Let me read to you this wonderful verse, which is so good for all of us in this world who are here suffering the pangs of material existence. Desha kalata yoktani ritapo pashamanicha haranti smaratashitam govinda pihitani me. He said, Arjuna says to Yudhishthira, now, you know, now means where Krishna has left. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Isn't it beautiful? These instructions have the power to relieve the burning heart in all times and all circumstances. And a little later we heard that Arjuna's constant remembrance of these instructions rapidly increased his devotion. And as a result, all the trash means abfall, garbage, in his thoughts subsided. We can get a similar instructions from this. As we feel, as we go through this world, and we, in our honest moments, understand, oh no, I'm not becoming Krishna conscious. What is this? My heart, my mind is still thinking about the objects of the senses. It's still, I'm still attracted to the cup with the poison called name, fame, and glory. I'm deadly addicted to all the things. What is going on with me? What is with my life? My emotional side is unbalanced. You know, this modern talk of devotees who see this. Oh no, lament, lament, lament. Huh? What to do in these moments? Well, go and turn to the instructions of Krishna, which are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances. Means also modern times, in all circumstances of time and space. This is what Arjuna did. Can you imagine his distress that Krishna left? Some of us felt distress when our dear Vaishnav Haravapu left the body, and some of us cried and were finished for a few days and so on and so forth. Can you imagine Arjuna, who was talking with Krishna like a friend, whom Krishna had protected like a friend in the dangerous battle of Kurukshetra, where there were sharks and Timingala fishes like Duryodhana and so on. Can you imagine that Krishna left Arjuna? He didn't even tell him before, he just left. Can you imagine how absolutely sad Arjuna must have been? I think we can't imagine. We can have an idea, a pious guess, but it must have been hellish. So, but Arjuna took shelter in the Vani of Krishna, which worked wonders. My dear devotees, our own beloved Srila Prabhupada prepared us when he was with us for the moment where he would leave us. And in the very beginning of his instructions and teachings, He told us that he would leave us and we must prepare. See, a guru knows the way of his knows his disciple's way. He has to know where his disciple is at the present moment, and he has to know through which phases of spiritual development he guides his disciple. The guru, being realized in the spiritual secrets of Krishna consciousness, the Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, knows what is on the way, and he prepares his disciple with knowledge so that the disciple can go with the best friend of the human being, that is spiritual knowledge, which comes and helps us. So one instruction which Prabhupada gave us, he knew he would leave soon, he would leave us as orphans, it was the Vani point. I remember when Prabhupada left New York to preach in San Francisco, he wrote a letter to the distressed devotees in New York who felt like children without the father. He said, "No, by following the Vani, we will be packed together." Packed together. Like sardine, you know, packed together. By following the instructions of the spiritual master, we are, one is together with the spiritual master. This secret needs to be practiced by us. It works. When Krishna left Arjuna, when Krishna was not there, Arjuna began to look for some shelter in this world, and he found the shelter in the instructions which were given to him before the battle of Kurukshetra, the Bhagavad Gita, in other words. A few days ago, we had a Bhagavad Gita seminar, an intensive seminar, in some little house tucked away in the wild forest of Germany, the northern Germany, in Hasenhorst, or, you know, some. And we were going through the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita. And I cannot describe to you how blissful the atmosphere was in the end. Isn't it? We were so blissful at the end, and so thankful at the end. We took a wonderful deity of Krishna at the end, and we chanted all together in deep gratefulness for the instructions, the shloka Namo Brahmanya Devaya, and at the end of each shloka we shouted in joy, pushed Panjali and threw flowers at the lotus feet of the Lord, and paid our obeisances. It was so, everyone could feel, just because we had heard 2 days only the Bhagavad Gita, we felt so transcendentally enlivened and on a transcendental platform, because we had just experienced this wonderful secret in spiritual life, coming together with the instructions of the Lord or of his dear servitor, Srila Prabhupada, can uplift us from the material platform and lift us on the spiritual platform. Alright, but when Yudhishthira and the Pandavas heard that Krishna had left the planet, there was really no reason for them to go on. Yudhishthira dutifully gave the kingdom to the grandson of the Pandavas, the Parikshit Maharaj, and then with his brothers, they took a very intensive vow. Some of you visited the recent seminars called The Gate to Immortality, which was confronting us with our mortal end in this world. And you will be very interested to hear what type of vow, how the Pandavas prepared themselves for death. to took the vow which only Kshatriyas take. It's a very special vow. That is, when you feel that the time of death is coming, then you just walk and walk and not stop. You don't eat, you don't sleep, nothing. You just concentrate on the Lord. Kshatriyas are powerful people. Just walk and walk and walk, walk, and then they fall over and give up the body in the Himalayan mountains. A little while ago, a devotee came to me on Bhima Nirjala Ekadasi, and he was totally a heap of misery because he said, the fire in my stomach is burning me to ashes. What to do? I can't even put water on it. And I said, this is nothing. I wanted to tell him the story of the Pandavas, that they didn't eat and didn't sleep and just walked and walked and walked. But he was so on such a low spiritual frequency that I thought he would not be able to understand this and apply it and become a little bit more tolerant of anyways, now he can hear it if he is in the room. I don't know. So, no, he's not in the room. So this is what the Pandavas did. For them, there was no reason to continue their existence because Krishna had left them. And they walked and walked and walked until one after the other, they fell on the ground and went back home, back to Godhead. That's the Pandavas. Parikshit Maharaj had been made the king by Yudhishthira. Now we get to the point of this very interesting point in our lecture. He went on his journey through the world and he found out Shudra beating the Dharma, the bull. I have mentioned to you earlier that the bull was there with three legs already broken. And one last leg was remaining, and we are informed that this bull is representing Dharma, and the three legs which were broken by Kali, the Shudra is representing Kali, where I think all of you know, so I'm going shortly over this, were representing, mercifulness, austerity, and cleanliness. These three are broken in the age of Kali. Mercifulness, austerity, and cleanliness. And a little leg, the last leg of Dharma, is truthfulness. And that was not yet broken because Parikshit Maharaj stopped him. So then, when Maharaj Parikshit stopped him, he asked Dharma, tell me, who has done this to you? And now we will go into a very mysterious and very important answer of Dharma, which is very necessary for our lives to become Krishna conscious. Dharma answered, O greatest among human beings, it is very difficult to ascertain the particular miscreant who has caused our sufferings, because we are bewildered by all the different opinions of theoretical philosophers. This is a very mysterious answer. Let us just say goodbye to our Braj Vihari Prabhu. Haribo. Will we meet at Radhadesh?
Yes.
Wonderful. So we will all look at Braj Vihari as he departs from our midst. Hari Bol Braj Bihari, a nice journey in Braj Bihari goes to Russia to help establish, to help Burijan Prabhu establish the Gurukul there. Be successful in your mission. Hare Krishna. The question is, here was Parikshit with his sword. Do you understand? He was ready to punish Kali, but he wanted to find out first. He wanted Dharma to identify the mischief monger. Do you follow? So he asked Dharma, who did it to you? Who broke your three legs? And Dharma says, oh, it is very difficult to say. Now you will say, why didn't he just say he? Isn't it? Is this in your mind? Are you perplexed about Dharma's answer? Are you listening to Dharma's answer? Are you thinking about Dharma's answer? A very difficult kind of a question. And Prabhupada says, Maharaj Parikshit, to get a statement of accusation against the direct mischief monger. But Dharma didn't say. Although the bull or the personality of religion and the cow, the personality of the earth, knew perfectly well that the personality of Kali was the direct cause of their sufferings, still, as devotees of the Lord, they knew well also that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. According to the Padma Purana, our present trouble is due to the fructifying of seedling sins. But even those seedling sins also gradually fade away by execution of pure devotional service. Thus, even the devotees see the mischief. Thus, even if the devotees see the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for the sufferings inflicted. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses, for otherwise the sufferings should have been greater. Do you understand this? I have seen one devotee falling asleep. I will repeat it again, therefore, because this devotee was a very important devotee of our project. It is very important to understand this. A devotee's vision is, this person has done some harm to me, but he could not have possibly done it if there would not have been two things involved. My own karma and the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I want to give you an example, because this is very important. If you don't understand this point in Krishna consciousness, you cannot be a philosophical mind and a spiritual person. You will always be pointing with fingers, he, this, that, and the every other thing is the cause of my suffering. This you must understand, otherwise it is not possible for you to spiritually evolve in your life. I want to give you an example, because some of you have not yet switched their active intelligence on and think about this. I had one assistant not long ago who told me this, his own realization on this point. He had been, before coming to Krishna consciousness, he had sat in Berlin on a bank. It was a spring day, beautiful spring day, and he looked into the sun and did some type of meditation, you know, let go of the thoughts to become peaceful inside. He had heard about some Eastern philosophy, and he just meditated. All of a sudden, bang! There was a pain in the face, and he opened his eyes and he saw how blood was running all over the face, and he looked, what was going on, and he saw a drunken man, not drunken man, ein Penner. Penner means in English bum, thank you. A bum who was before him, you know, waiting now that he would get up and start the fight. But my assistant had this overwhelming realization that no, this bum is not the cause of this misery which I'm experiencing at this moment. It must have been due to something which I had done previously. You know, sometimes you have realizations without, you can't explain how they come. It's a super soul. Do you sometimes have this? Yes, no, middle. You must have this, otherwise where is the question of your development inside? Where I this you must think deeply about spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes there are realizations. You all have it. You are now too shy to say yes. We all have it. Sometimes, yes, ooh, yeah. There is the super soul in the heart who says in the Gita, the Lord says, Te shami vanu kampatam, I'm out of compassion. I, dwelling in the heart, destroy the darkness of ignorance of my devotees. Yes, so this he was in this miserable situation in life, and he was painful. It was really blood all over the face. But he understood, it's not the bum who is the cause of this suffering. And the bum looked at him, you know, like he was now, these people are very disturbed internally, the bums, that now a fight would come. But my assistant just couldn't fight. He felt very happy and enlightened. And the bum said, well, are you not angry at me? Don't you want to hit me back? No, no, it's all right, said this. And the bum was totally changed. Immediately, he looked into one of his 10 plastic bags, found a bottle of mineral water, and he is sorry, he said, I did not know what overcame me, what made me hit you. I don't know what was it. And my sister said, I know what it was. You were just an agent of my karma. Before Krishna consciousness, he knew, because, yes, this is, who doesn't know about karma? I mean, that it must be a foolish person. He knew. It was my karma. It was not the person who did it. He did not know what he did. He didn't mean it. He didn't think of it. The bull, in other words, indirectly said, it was the Supreme Personality of Godhead who directed all of this. And this is really the art of life, to understand Krishna in everything. The Bhagavatam, this is the first time the Bhagavatam trains us to develop this vision. Many times in the Bhagavatam, if you study the Bhagavatam carefully, this point is brought out again, that Krishna is the cause of all causes. This is how the Bhagavatam starts. Janmadyasya yataha. That's the first description of Krishna. Please meditate in your life also about how Krishna is the cause of all causes, how Krishna uses your karma to teach you something in your life. When you do this, you can become happy in this world. Hare Krishna. So this was a little bit on the Bhagavatam, on the nectarian days of the Bhagavatam. I just met a very dear God brother of mine, and we studied the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, morning till evening. And it was a very, very wonderful time of my life, which I will not forget. Yes, there are many deep instructions of the Bhagavatam, and I hope in the following lectures, I have to now really start studying the Bhagavatam, but I hope I will soon be able to preach to all of you some of the secrets and philosophical points in the Bhagavatam, so that they can help you in your own spiritual development to lead a very wonderful life in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Thank you very much. Do you have any question? Willkommen. Krishna. No, everything is clear. No. Mahashiran saves my day. Somehow this question means there is a relationship between the audience and the speaker, and the speaker wants this relationship. That's why we want questions at the end. So Mahashiran. I think better in English, if you can, wenn du Schwierigkeiten hast, kannst du mir, ich verstehe ja Deutsch auch.
Not violence.
No. Yes. Violence means hurting others, and we never want to do it, to do this. Especially not against devotees. But I know you mean being a little strong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How to use one's realizations to serve Krishna? You mean particularly in correcting devotees, right? Mm-hmm. When there are things, when there are things which are not good amongst devotees, how then to use the influence and the little strongness or position which one has to correct.
Maybe you can even not correct. Sometimes you have experience, mm-hmm. and you know out of the film that something is suspicious more in this way.
Yeah.
And you see that it's not happening.
You see something is not so good in the association of devotees. They made some mood is there, some philosophy. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you like, the motivation is to please Krishna more, to like to correct or however.
Yeah. Well, I know. I think I know what you mean. I want to be very. See, this is sometimes a work when you have to. If you answer questions, you must be very sure that you exactly know what the person is answering. Otherwise, it's just like a doctor who is not taking care to diagnose a patient, and then give some prescription which may not help. So even if you give answers, if you don't diagnose what is the question, not diagnose, find out what is the question. I think sometimes you see an atmosphere, Mahashirat, which is dull. Like for instance, in this in the
and then you become, you want to do something. I saw the kirtan, you were not, you thought that kirtan, the devotee should be more enlivened this morning, and then you danced dancing like a star on the firmament to inspire the devotees. See, when you want devotees to be more inspired in Krishna consciousness, then you can't just go like, oh, you must, what you must do is you must create an atmosphere in which devotees get inspiration. This is the only way. You cannot push someone to grow up in spiritual. You can sometimes put a little cling inside so that the person thinks, but over and all you must create an atmosphere where devotees feel inspired. Each devotee wants to be inspired. I'm totally convinced of this. They really want to be inspired, and it's our duty as if we are brahmanas or preachers, you know, according to our, and as devotees, to make that atmosphere where a devotee can be inspired. This is called in Sanskrit Sanskriti. Sanskriti means culture, actually, and culture is that which inspires a person. In culture there are affectionate dealings, that's very inspiring. In a good spiritual culture, there is the opportunity to remember Krishna. In a good spiritual culture, in an atmosphere, there are instructions which directly speak to the heart. This is what we have to do. You can't push someone. It doesn't work. It's like if you want the grass, we have in Karuna Bhavan, we try to get a lawn there. Let us see if nature cooperates with our desire. And the grass is not coming but if you go there, you know, and pull at the grass, come on, get out of it. It won't come. You have to somehow give the water, or we have maybe to find out what the grass wants. I mean, maybe it's some cow dung, or what is it, what is required, and then we have to supply it. So in the same way, when we want to encourage devotees, we have to supply encouragement. It's important. That's one of the duties of our Krishna consciousness movement, to build up a culture where inspiration flows. It's not so easy, because our movement is so young, and we as Westerners are we have so many layers in our complex psychology. On one layer we have this, on one layer we have so many impressions. But if we don't get if we get a good culture together, devotees will be extremely inspired. This is, for instance, one of the purposes of this community. We want to make a real community, and that means not just houses where people live, but we must create an atmosphere. We must see, actually, in Easter Ghosties, in Switzerland, the devotees now start Easter Ghosties and have invited me to conduct Easter Ghosties, where we find out what are the needs of the different Vaishnavas, and then we will find out how we can supply it. So we have to find out here also, what do our devotees in this community, what is inspiring to them in Krishna consciousness, and supply it. For you, you might be inspired by a very, you know, very kirtan where you feel like, you know, very, but someone else is just a little, you know, must have a heart-to-heart talk. Or someone else must get finally some strawberries and cream. You know, and, you know, there's many requirements of us. Physical, mental, intellectual, so on. In this, we are trying to, you know, Sri Vishnupad is very aware of this community thing, and also our project leader is very much aware of this, thinking about it, so on. Yes? Yes, we want to make this an ideal place, and I think it can be done, because we will get Radha Madan Mohan, and these are very, very, when they are very, very, wie sagt man, responsive, das sind Deities, die antworten, Deities who answer, very merciful. This project will change when the deities come. Don't miss the day. 2nd of August, they come in the evening, right? Say in the evening. I feel everyone should of us should really be there in the best mood and just say, welcome Krishna. We can prepare ourselves by this by reading the chapter in the Bhagavatam. Let me see this. Maybe we should start to switch to this Vishvadev. This is a very good chapter which prepares the devotees for actually we have not done it. Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka. That's the 11th chapter. That's where Krishna comes to the residence of Vrindavan. Of not Vrindavan. Sorry. Such a Vrindavan mood is there. To Dwaraka first. Let him first come to Dwaraka. That's how they prepare, how they receive him, and so on. I think we should read about this chapter if it is alright, you have to decide later. I will read this chapter to prepare myself for the Lord's appearance. Maybe the devotees here, reading in a lecture goes so slow, each day one verse, but maybe you should read it in your private reading time. We read anyways 1 hour, and if we don't do it, we can start it soon, today or tomorrow. We can do the chapter 11 in our reading time. Prepare ourselves that now Radha Madan Mohan will come. Ooh, and this will be the kingdom of God on earth. No doubt. Ja, 1. Canto, Chapter 11. Also 1. Canto, Kapitel 11. Bishop Anu Nandini?
Yes, what was the verse you were quoting before? The instructions of Krishna may disappear.
Find it for you again. This verse is found one moment please. Of wonderful chapters. I almost have it. It's in the, if you want to read this about the Vani, it's in the 1st canto, chapter 15, text 27. 1:15:27. Shyamala. Yes.
Yes, you are asking a very, very philosophical question. This question is dealt with in the Bhagavad Gita in the 5th chapter. And
the way an action comes is you desire something, and then the Lord in the heart, who's super soul, becomes aware of your desire. The example which we find in the fifth chapter is just like a person who comes close to a flower, smells the smell of the flower. In the same way, the super soul who's with you becomes aware of your desire. Then he puts, he arranges that the material energy works to supply that desire. To give you a very practical example, please look what is happening here. I mean, I don't, well, it's not so dramatic what happens, but the hand is moving upwards. The question is, how is this hand moving? In illusion, we think, well, you move the hand, or I can move my hand. But it is what you can do, you desire this, and then the Lord in the heart makes the arrangements. Do you know just how many complicated biological processes have to work to lift this foolish hand? Okay. I think you, in the brain, Siamala, there is a few million, and then it goes, very many things are there. And that is arranged by the super soul. Or are you controlling it? Are you aware of the, then, oh, I made a mistake. No, it's the super soul, the Lord, it's arrangement, this material, this whole material energy works. We can only desire, then the Lord works. Now your question, so you can say, okay, then the desire is very much, that is my free will to desire this or that. You just desired to do such a foolish thing as to lift your hand. Okay. You could have desired something else, which is a fact. I could have also illustrated my point by making like this, for example. Yes, in the scriptures this is said. Nityo nityananam chetanas chetananam. Amongst all the eternal beings, there's one eternal being who fulfills the desires of the many eternal beings. Yes, we do have free will, but ultimately, whatever happens in this world is moving under the control of the Lord. You can, for instance, desire so many things which didn't happen. I think if your desire would be the only factor, you would be by now be a pure devotee, as far as I know you. You would be in Vrindavan, serving Srimati Radharani and Krishna, and, you know, but the desire, it did not yet come true. So, therefore, we understand the ultimate cause of everything is Krishna. We can desire, that's correct, but Krishna fulfills it or does not fulfill it. So, but Shyamala's question is very deep. Can we say, in other words, that the bum, in this example, had no core, nothing to do with pushing, I mean, doing what he did? We don't need to repeat it really, because it's so violent. And yes, he has a little part, but there are altogether five factors for each activity. And the devotee prefers to see Krishna as the ultimate mover of everything. That's the devotee's vision. A Sankhya philosopher will say it differently, and he will be right on his level of understanding. But the level of the devotee is that nothing moves under the control of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Now you begin to understand how much faith is required to be in Krishna consciousness, how much connection is required to Krishna, to really have that understanding. Nothing moves. I couldn't get sick under the, you know, sometimes we are sick. I hear a few devotees sneezing. You are sneezing. You couldn't get sick under the control of Krishna. The way a devotee sees it is, I had karma due to my own activities, but Krishna moved this karma in a way so that I could learn something. Isn't it? Don't you have this experience from your life that something happens in your life and yes, you were the cause also a little bit. You desired. But Krishna used this to teach you a lesson to advance in Krishna consciousness. Does this make sense to all of you? I feel this is a point really which every one of us has to work on and think deeply. This is a point which we only understand, Syamala, by some realization. It takes time. It's not an easy time. If you just look at it strictly philosophically with the Sankhya analysis, you will see, yes, the bum wanted, it was aggressive, and there was the karma of the person who got punched. But the real thing is Krishna moves everything. This is a parallel spiritual understanding, the ultimate force behind everything. The cause of all causes, the cause of karma even, is Krishna. Means he is the cause of the law of karma. This is how I wanted to say it. Krishna, 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 Krishna. But the question is very difficult, Vishyamala has risen. Dharma therefore says, I'm bewildered. There's so many philosophical opinions. But ultimately he thinks, it's all Krishna. If religion is bewildered, Syamala, about this answer, Dharma, then we can also be a little bewildered. We can only solve this dilemma by realization of Krishna. I thank you very much. All the best for you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Bevor ihr alle rausgeht, könnten bitte folgende Devotees ganz kurz zu mir kommen, weil das ist...